68th Psalm, there's a verse that I think maybe we need to be reacquainted with, or perhaps for the first time introduced to. In the 68th Psalm, verse number 11, the Bible says, "The Lord gave the word." Boy, isn't that good? This book didn't come from any man. Every once in a while you have somebody say, well, a bunch of men wrote the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. Holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Came from God. And so God gave the word. But notice this. Great was the company of those that published it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd help us as we look at this important ministry, dear God, and our kind of first baby steps of involvement as we feel our way towards what I think will be something that perhaps a year from now or 2 years from now, 3 years from now, we can look back and be somewhat astounded at what God has done. Lord, I want to just help to give our people a little bit of a vision of the possibilities and, Lord, a little bit of background into the scriptures of the importance of this. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help me, Holy Spirit of God. I think I'm learning, and I think our church is learning on this, certainly will be. And so, Lord, may we learn together and follow you by faith, please. Dear God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. After nearly 2,000 years of evangelism, over 50% of the world still sits in darkness, having never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Now, that's just a fact. It's estimated that the average foreign missionary has an outreach to only 5,000 people during his time on the field. At that rate, we would need to send 1 million more missionaries to the field this year. I want to talk on this subject tonight, the power of the printed page, the power of the printed page. God has a key, I think a means of getting the message of the gospel to every creature in a meaningful, a relevant, heart-reaching manner. God does not give commands that are impossible to fulfill. With every command given, God also makes available everything necessary to complete it. The key to getting the gospel to many countries, languages, and people groups is the printed page. It's the printed page. In America, the printed page has become cheap, and we've taken it for granted. This is not true on many foreign fields. There are over 5,000 languages and dialects in the world, but less than 400 have the whole Bible. Now, I'm going to try to illustrate this, and you think through it with me, and you're going to have to use your imagination a little bit, because I'm not going to move people around. I almost decided to do that. I want you to imagine that we reduced the entire population of the world down to 100 people, and that 100 people represented the entire population of the world. Okay? Now, we are going to put 4 of the 100 people in that corner. How many is in that corner? All right. We're going to put 12 of the 100 people there. How many are there? 12. All right. So far, so good. We're going to put 30 over here. How many?
30.
And 54, the balance is here. How many? 54. All right. So we've got 4, 12,
30, 54.
Oh, I'm amazed. Good. All right. Very good. Now listen very carefully to me. If that represented the population of the whole world, the 4 that are over in this corner would represent the people that have a whole Bible. A whole Bible. 4 out of 100 people representing the population of the entire planet. The 12 back here in this corner would have a New Testament. Not a whole Bible, but a New Testament. The 30 up here wouldn't have a whole Bible or a net New Testament. Maybe not even a whole book, but at least they have some portion of the Word of God. Maybe a John and Romans. Maybe in some countries, just a few pages of the Bible. And folks, this goes on. House churches meeting in some areas where a lady would come in and maybe just have some pages of the Word of God that they would meet and somebody would read and somebody would try to expound and preach. And that's all they can do because that's all they have. Now, one of the startling things is this. The 54 people over here does not have one word, one written or printed word of the Bible in their hands or access to it. Now you think about that. Think about that. Let it sink in, okay? There's a need, and I appreciate what we're doing and beginning to do finally, and I think in our circles and training nationals with the Word of God, and also the Bible translators that are busy. We, of course, support Brother Schindler in our First Bible, and some of the things that are starting to be recognized. We've got to get the Bible, first of all, translated in the languages it's not translated in, and then the ones that are translated in, we need to get them printed and into the hands of the people. Now, there's a lot of reasons we need to get into printing, and especially the printing of the Bible, but not just the Bible. We must print because much of the world cannot purchase the Bible because of their poverty level. Even if somebody printed it and they could have it for sale in the store, they'd never be able to afford it. So there has to be missionary outreaches that are willing to not only get into printing, but to do it free of charge and provide it to missionaries to hand free to people so that they can have a copy of the Word of God. And so I thank God for our Bible printing ministries that we already support, that are involved in that. I'm certainly for us supporting them. But I think sometimes that's a little bit of a cop-out. Let's just send $100 here and $100 here every month, and then we can kind of just say, there, we helped out getting some Bibles out. But the honest truth is, churches across America are waking up to the possibility of having a hands-on direct impact in the printing, publishing of the Word of God and gospel material to put in the hands of missionaries, so that it's not just one or two or three mega ministries trying to supply the world, but thousands of ministries that are chipping together. And by the way, if you start now counting the small printing ministries that are run by just the average-sized local New Testament church, they are starting to rival the amount that the larger ministries are producing. The Bible printing must, I believe, done, and I think that this matter of printing material should be done through the local church. Folks, the Bible was given to the local church, therefore should be printed and given out by the local church. Now, there was a two-edged sword when Gutenberg invented the printing press. I want you to understand, if you go all the way back and study this, even into the Bible, in the Old Testament, you know what? God made sure it was the job of the scribes. It was always in the hands of his people to make sure that the Bible was properly copied and properly reproduced. You know why? Because we took it serious. We understand the importance of doing it right. We understood the respect that we ought to have in not changing, folks, anything. And I mean, it was meticulous, and it was done by the church. Now, the printing press is kind of a two-edged sword. It was a great thing because it allowed us to begin to print and get Bibles produced at a volume that we never would have, and get into the hands of the common man, and that was good. But the sad part is at some point the church began to give this responsibility to the world to print Bibles for the church. Now, why is that a problem? Here's several reasons it's become a problem. Somebody from the world begins to print Bibles for the church, and all of a sudden, because they are money-oriented and business-oriented, they begin to look at this book and say, wow, man, we can make a lot more on this if we had a copyright, but there's no copyright on this. So what would we have to do to get a copyright on this so that we could then begin to claim it as authored by us, and therefore not only just make money on selling the books, but getting copyright royalties from it? Folks, listen, the love of money is the root of all evil. There is no copyright on the King James Version of the Bible. You say, well, these Bibles that have been produced through the years, it was just in an effort to make it easier to understand. Wrong. Wrong. In order to gain a copyright from the King James Bible, you have to change 20% of the words in the Bible in order to apply for a copyright and then begin to make royalties off that. And so these worldly people begin to say, how can we profit more from the printing of this book? And that is exactly where the versions begin to come from. Now, folks, the King James Bible is written on an eighth grade reading level. Well, I just can't understand all the these and thous. Okay, listen carefully. Thee means you. Thou means you. Got that now? Are you good to go? Got that? Well, that's tough, man. I mean, good night. I understand why you threw a whole Bible away just because. You know, folks, we don't need to be dumbed down. What we need to do is decide that this book is worth studying, worth learning. And so now watch this. So all of a sudden the world begins to start doing this. It was taken out of the of the hands of God's people. No one of God's people would have taken this book and said, let's change anything. That happened when the world got involved in printing it, because they're looking at it saying, how can we make more money off of it? And so it was basically a business decision. Also, by the way, driven, I believe, by the devil himself. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, the first time we are introduced to Satan in the Bible, the first things that he utters is this, hath God said? And the first thing he does is to try to convince Eve that God's words did not mean what they meant, and then he goes and directly changes the words of God and tells her, no, he didn't tell you this, he told you that. The first act of Satan is an attempt to change the words of God. And so once you begin to understand the depth of this, you begin to understand the satanic movement behind it. Let me tell you something else that we're dealing with right now. And another reason that I think the printing of the Bible, and it has gotten back in to the hands of the church, it is getting back into it. But let me tell you this. You know what? I can almost understand, no, don't get me wrong, it's not right, but a worldly businessman making a financial decision to change 20% of the Bible to cash in on it. But let me tell you what we're fighting now and have been for several years. There are publishing companies that are changing the King James Bible, changing words, and then publishing it as a King James version of the Bible. And they haven't changed even enough of it to profit from it. Now, what in the world would possess somebody to do this? One of the companies that are doing this, a preacher friend of mine called the company because, man, I don't know, I shouldn't probably say this from the pulpit, but he bought his son a King James Bible, a version of the Bible, thinking he was safe. His son came to him and said, Dad, I didn't know the word hemorrhoids was in the Bible. And he said, hemorrhoids? The word hemorrhoids not in the Bible. Let me see your Bible, King James Bible. You said, if you wonder if any preacher would ever preach on hemorrhoids. Well, I'm doing it right now, okay? Brother Reiser asked me that question. Have you ever heard a sermon on hemorrhoids? I said, no, I haven't. Only Brother Reiser would think about that. But they took the word hemorrhoids and they decided, so the preacher called and said, what? I bought my son a King James Bible, and he said, well, this is what he said. Oh, several years ago, our typesetter came in and said, people aren't going to know what that means. Let's change that word. And so we just said, okay. And that typesetter, a typesetter, just decided that he thought of a better word. You say, well, they mean the same thing. You better study the word. It's not a slam dunk. And by the way, even if it does mean the same thing, I'd still like the chance myself to see what the original word was so that I could determine whether or not, instead of some typesetter randomly changing words thinking it was easier to understand. That word couldn't be translated as a tumor. And so, and folks, what I'm saying is, what's wrong with just leaving it the way it is? If you don't know a word, guess what? Here's a concept. Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And so we say, well, I'm just going to change it so people don't have to study it. But what if you're wrong in what you changed it? And so God doesn't give man permission to do that. Matter of fact, God's so adamant about it that in the closing verses of the book of the Revelation, he warns, I will take your name out of the book of life if you take away or add to my words. Now, I'm not even sure I know exactly what that means as a independent fundamental Baptist, but it scares me and keeps me from doing it. Now get this, folks. Get it well. I think we have to get the responsibility of our printing ministries, because it's not just the Bible they're messing with. They're messing with everything. We need to produce and print good, solid Bible, biblically accurate material for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's some amazing things going on, folks. Let me just share some of these with you. In Latin America, and the impact, we don't really understand the impact of the printed word. Remember the story I told this morning in Sunday school class about us? Those of you that weren't in there, I was talking about one of our missions trip where me and one of our young men went over and began to pass out just printed material, just gospel tracts at a Little League baseball game. The game shut down and the players all ran over and the coaches and the parents and stood there patiently. Those of you that have been to on the mission field, understand that the printed word is not available. Any kind of printed word is not available like it is in America. They are hungry to get their hands on something to read. In Latin America, one can walk through the villages and towns and pass out literature wherever there are people, and the message will be read on the spot. It's not uncommon for people to actually approach missionaries. Not uncommon. It is common for them to approach you, chase you down. Can I have one of them? It's amazing to witness the results of gospel literature and the impact that it has in our Central America, Latin America, and in Mexico. The impact of the printed page, have you ever considered the impact in our lives? I mean, folks, our opinions are molded, our character is formed, our very attitude is determined largely by what we read. You owe everything that you are to the printed page. It was once said the typewriter is mightier than the tank. The greatest invention of all time was the printing press. How fitting that the first thing printed on the Gutenberg first press was the Bible. Gutenberg wrote in the 15th century, this is what he wrote: God suffers because of the great multitudes whom his sacred word cannot reach. Religious truth is captive in a small number of manuscript books which guard the treasures. Let us break the seal which holds the holy things. Give wings to the truth, that by a means no longer written at great expense by the hand that wearies itself, but multiplied by an unwearied machine, it may fly to every soul born in the world. I mean, that Gutenberg wrote that. You know what? God, I think, gave him the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to invent the printing press for the primary purpose of getting the Bible into the hands of the common man. And I think if the church would have said, fine, let's get these presses and let's still take custodial care over the printing of the Bible, we'd have been fine. But we begin to shop that out to the world. The greatest miracle of our generation is literacy. Over 3 million new people learn to read every 7 days. Over 3 million new people learn to read every 7 days. More than 150 a year. They will read something, anything. They'll be reached, and they will be reached, and it is simply a question of who will reach them first. Brother Dave Carney told me this story. When one of our first missionaries, by the way, one of the first men that got into Russia when they began to allow missionaries into Russia. He said by the time Russia, the walls fell and it was allowed for missionaries to go in, by the time we raised support and gathered our belongings and got over there, he said we were 10 years behind the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jehovah's Witnesses had airplanes full of printed material and missionaries that were landing the day after they were allowed into the country. One of the things Brother Smith talked to me about, and I want to go ahead and credit Brother Marvin Smith. He's given me a lot of the information I'm giving you tonight. But he told me, he said, you know what, one of the things we're lagging behind on is we're reactionary. We react to an open door, and the cults are anticipating the opening of doors. And so we need to get at the head of the game. Many nations now have mass nationwide literacy campaigns. Indonesia, with 838 languages, has a national language now. Almost all the schools of the country are now bilingual. Classes in Indonesian, the local tribe language. 15 years, Indonesia went from 6% literacy to 67% of the population to be able to read and write. Some of the African nations have jumped from being illiterate to up to a 52% literacy rate. And you know what that means? That means they can read what we hand to them. We are at war. Not a war of tanks and guns and planes, but it is a war of words. The weapons are paper and ink. The victims are the minds of men. And the struggle is ideas. There is a day when conflicting forces are striving for world mastery. It's imperative for them to win the allegiance of men's minds. Millions of people who grope in darkness looking and searching for guidance are open prey. They search not knowing where a sure word of counsel is to be found. Many are being deceived in their search by clever lying propaganda of the devil in the guise of sects and cults. Early missionaries blazed the trail for literature evangelism. In recent years, though, we have allowed the cults and the communists to use this weapon, which was forged by many of God's pioneers. The father of modern missions, William Carey, founded a printing press and devoted much of his life to literature work. But today in India, 70% of all literature in some areas is communistic. Charles Darwin wrote a book called Origin of Species. Wrote a book. One book changed the course of our nation for the belief of evolution. Karl Marx wrote just one book. Almost 2 billion souls in at least 20 countries have lost their freedom and have had to lie under communist reign because one book has been responsible, that one book, for 100 million deaths. The biggest propaganda machine of the communists is the printing press. They spend over $3 billion annually on printing. They print 3 pieces of literature for every man, woman, boy, and girl upon the earth every year. The communists do it. And the church is doing nothing. We're putting nothing out. One large Latin American country, they have 22 daily communist newspapers and 32 weekly publications. In Mexico City alone, there are 28 communist bookstores. Most state fairs in Latin America have a bookstand operated by the Russian embassy. When Lenin took over Russia, he said the people will never believe or understand communism unless they are indoctrinated with communism by the printed page. Therefore, every person was required to become literate. And a nationwide attack was made on illiteracy. You say, well, that's a good thing. Well, it depends on what you put in their hands after they can read. Now the USSR is among the most literate nations in the world, even more literate than the United States. It's doubtful if any other people on the earth read more than the people of Russia. They read 3 times more than the average American. The Russian people have been molded by what they read, and by controlling what was given them to read, the Communist Party was able to convince them that they have the best form of government in the world. 140 million pieces of anti-religious, atheistic propaganda is distributed to the Russian people every year. The communists boast thus, let the missionaries teach the people to read. We will provide them with the literature to read. From 1955 to 1980, the Jehovah Witnesses increased their membership by 2,000%. They did it mostly by the printed page. They have an eight-story print shop in Brooklyn, New York that houses the largest printing press in the world. The editor of the Catholic Register not only runs the biggest but the most successful chain of religious newspapers in the world. You know what? Everybody else has figured this out. Maybe we ought to figure it out. The words of Daniel Webster are as inappropriate today as they were 100 years ago. If religious books are not widely circulated among the masses in this country, I do not know what is to become of us as a nation. And the thought is one to cause solemn reflection on the part of every Christian and patriot. If truth is not diffused, error will be. If God and His Word are not known and received, the devil and his works will gain ascendancy. If the evangelical volume does not reach every hamlet, the pages of a corrupt and devilish literature will. If the power of the gospel is not felt through the length and breadth of the land, anarchy and misrule, degradation, misery, corruption, and darkness will reign across our nation. Think he was a prophet? Think he was a prophet? F.T. Floyd, former British Home Secretary of the African Inland Mission, said, Christian literature is today's absolute number one priority in all missionary planning. Dr. Harold Cook, the late missionary department chairman of Moody Bible Institute, said, literature can be our most effective medium of mass communication of the gospel. In terms of the price paid for it, the number of people reached, and the fact that the message can be read over and over again until it is understood, there is no other method that can compare with literature. Dr. J. Oswald Smith said, for more than 50 years, I have prayerfully considered the problem. How can we evangelize the world in the space of one generation? Long ago, I was convinced that we could never send out enough missionaries, but there must be a way. After travel and study in 53 countries, I've come to this conclusion. The only way we're going to be able to carry out the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, will be by the printed page. By the systematic use of the printed page, we shall be able to enter into every home and thus reach every individual with the gospel message. The message of salvation can be presented through the means of the printed page. It never flinches, it never grows tired, never grows disheartened. It works while we sleep, it travels cheaply and requires no rented buildings. It never loses its temper, and it works long after we are dead. Printed page is a visitor which gets inside the home and stays there. It always catches a man in the right mood, for it speaks to him only when he is reading it. It always sticks to what it has said and never answers back. The printed page is deathless. You can destroy one, but the press can reproduce a million. As often as one copy is martyred, a million is raised. I like that. It can enter doors locked to the evangelist. It preaches in the factory, the train, the kitchen. It visits the public school and the jail. It whispers in the ear of the dying. The printed message can reach those whose religions forbid them to go to church. It can reach the student who, proud of his intellectualism, refuses to listen to the gospel or relate himself to it for fear of his fellow students or professors. Away, though, from searching eyes, from the probing investigation of the state, away from the demand of the allegiance to the state of religion, away from the critical intrusions of friends and family, the message of salvation can be privately read and understood. Yes, literature is the link of life. Tomorrow, many missionaries will have to leave the field. Some fields will close, but our witness can remain because of literature that can be left behind in the hands of national Christians. Remember, people everywhere are reading. Education has become compulsory for school-aged children in most countries. Just since you began hearing me speak, almost 200 new readers have entered the world of the printed page. They are eagerly extending their hands to whatever reading material will be placed in it. The way to reach the most people in the shortest period of time is with the printed page. But if we're going to print, it should be let me just say this, folks, and I think it's good that he wrote this in here, and this is Brother Smith's notes. He said, but if we're going to print, we should also be committed to giving it out right here in our own Jerusalem. Take those gospel tracts out of here, give them to your neighbors. Be a shame if we invest in a bunch of printing materials to get in the hands of people away from us, but we won't take our own printed material and put it in the hands of our neighbor. We should challenge every of our bus kids to take home gospel tracts to his or her parents. We should challenge every child and teenager to take them to their schools. Challenge every college student to give them to their college friends. We should do it by faith. We should sow the seed. Now, preacher, what are you saying? Well, Haggai chapter 2, verse 19, is the seed yet in the barn? Of course, Luke chapter 8 in the parable of the sower, the seed is the word of God. What can we do here, and what's this printing ministry all about? Well, we want to be involved in the task of providing seed for the sowers. I said this morning and referenced Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so we want to send missionaries, but we want to send them with the material so that they can reach the world for Jesus Christ. Let me share something with you, and some of you experienced this with me. How many of you went to Monterrey, Mexico with us when we took that missions trip? I've taken four missions trips into Mexico. I've taken one of them with a group that I just had them raise their hand, and we went to Monterrey, Mexico. That was not with or partnered with the Ministry of Bearing Precious Seed. If you folks will remember, the most frustrating thing that we faced while we were in Monterrey, Mexico, was they would send us out, and most of the time they had no tracts for us to give out, or just a handful. I mean, literally, we would have 8 or 10 tracts a person. We'd go out for an afternoon, and in 10 seconds they'd be gone, and we'd stand there saying, what are we supposed to do? There's no way for us to impact these people. We went along with the nationals. We listened to them witness, but we could not do a thing. You know why? We didn't have printed material. The three times I've gone to the mission field with a group from Bearing Precious Seed, you know what? We've never had that problem. You know why? Because Bearing Precious Seed figured out the idea that we don't only need to send missionaries, but we need to send material in the hands of the missionaries so that they can get the Word of God into the hands of the people. And I've never gone on a missions trip with Bearing Precious Seed where we didn't have enough John and Romans and gospel tracts. I mean, we passed them out till they were gone. But I mean, you know what? We left there feeling like we had accomplished what we come to accomplish. You know why? Because the church figured out we can't just send people to mission field. They need material. I'm not sure about this, but I have a feeling that if you called and asked the average missionary that's on the field, what is a handful of your greatest needs as far as, I mean materials. Well, what do you need? Tools. You know what? They're facing that problem all over the place. We're here, but there's more people than we can talk to. If we had more, I've never sent to any missionary, no matter what the quantity is, Bibles or gospel tracts, where within a few months they didn't contact us back and say, could you get us more? So is it up to just Bearing Precious Seed in Milford, Ohio to try to keep up with the demand? What would happen if 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 or 5,000 churches across America said, you know what, we can't do what Bearing Precious Seed is. We'll still support them, pray for them, do what we can to help them. But why don't we take on something? Why don't we try to do something? Say, preacher, what can we do? Well, we need sowers. We need young people going to the mission field, but we need seed. I have been mulling this printing ministry over my heart for some time. One of those things that kind of are in the back of your mind. One of the things that I do when I know God wants me to do something, the church to do something, is I begin to pray. Because, folks, every new ministry needs to have people, and every new ministry needs to have some people that'll get burdened about doing it. I've come to the conclusion that, you know what, Pastor Jerry Ross isn't supposed to do everything around here. I'm supposed to oversee what's done, but I'm not supposed to do it all. I begin to pray and say, you know, God, begin to burden. If you want this ministry, you begin to burden the heart of some people in this church about it. And Brother Jeff Scales was probably the first guy that came to me and just said, preacher, I want to talk to you about something. It's just driving me crazy. Other men have come to me since the ideas floated and said, you know what, I'd like to be involved in this. I feel like, I don't know, in a strange way, God just is taking my heart towards this ministry. It doesn't have to be everybody. Everybody don't have to be in the bus ministry. Everybody don't have to go to nursing homes. But I think whenever we go forward with a ministry idea, one of the things I'm looking for is an affirmation that God's moving amongst the congregation. There's a group of people that want to see this thing happen. And so I'm excited about that. Let me tell you what we're getting so that you'll know a little bit more. And this is really quite amazing. We're getting a printing press that will be completely rebuilt and in functioning, running order for under $1,000. And we are going to have it delivered here. We'll go up and get it. When it's delivered here, it'll be ready to start cranking off gospel tracts. It'll be equipped with the plates in the language that they need them for some of the people in India. And right away, I mean, when it lands here, if we've got the paper to print, then we can start printing gospel tracts. And you say, preacher, how are we going to get them over here? Let's talk about this. Brother Smith, Marvin Smith up in Fort Dodge, Iowa, him and 8 to 10 other pastors has kind of worked together. You know, churches our size, and his church is about the same size as ours. Churches our size have a hard time just taking on a huge project, filling a complete shipping container full of gospel material, and filling it by ourselves and paying for it by ourselves to get shipped to India. He got a burden in his church to just step out by faith and begin to do something. Other churches were doing some things. They begin to find each other, and Brother Smith's been a great help as far as giving me some guidance and a sensible plan on how we, a church our size, can just begin to get involved. When a container is filled and ready to go to India, get this, in order for it to be full, and he said the biggest sin that we could commit is to send a partially empty container and pay for it. Because you're going to pay full price to get it shipped over there, whether it's half full, three quarters full. He said, we've got to fill them up. But a container will hold 3 million gospel tracts and 200,000 John and Romans. And so these churches partner together, each one, of course, working independently, but also together. And we do the best we can. This is what we're going to join in with to help fill one of these containers. Now I'm going to give you something. They have been working with India for quite some time because, folks, India now has the largest population in the world. It used to be China. Did you know India passed China? And also, let me say this, some of the most amazing movements of God and harvest of souls is happening in the country of India right now. They need materials. So every printing ministry in America is being challenged in some way to provide some material for India. And so Brother Smith said, hey, we're in the middle of trying to fill a container. He said, I've got a million gospel tracts in it. We need 2 million more. And he said, we need 200,000 John and Romans. I've got some other churches working on that. Now, eventually, we're going to get to the point where we can also begin to publish John and Romans. But we're just taking baby steps. Say, preacher, how much do you know about printing? Well, this is an A. This is a B. That's about it, all right? But you know what? Most things that I've stepped out by faith on and knew that God wanted me to do, and most things that this church has stepped out by faith on that God knew wanted us to do, we didn't know a whole lot about. But you know what? We knew God wanted us to do it. You know how much Pastor Ross knew about a bus ministry the first time he bought a bus? Not a whole lot, except that there's kids that needed to get to Jesus. They needed to get to church. That's what he knew. I think there's people that need these materials. Now, Let me give you some statistics that he shared with me, because they've been into this for a while. They're getting feedback. I think he said, I feel very confident that these numbers I'm going to give you are accurate. He said, for every John and Romans that is sent over to India, he said 13 people will read it front to back. And he said the national pastors are telling us conservatively, for every John and Romans that they give out, 13 people will read it and one person will get saved of the 13 people. Now you grasp that. You come on over here on a Monday night and you take a John and Romans and you help staple it together and you help trim it out and you help stack it up. Every single one of them you touch, if we can get it printed, put together, and to the field, it's a soul saved. He's going to send over in one container 200,000 John and Romans. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty exciting to me. John, think about that. The gospel tracks, he said, I'll be honest with you, is harder to keep track of. It's harder to get statistics on. But he said that they feel confident that they can say this. For the 3 million gospel tracks, and he said, if anything, they're lowballing it. He says, for the 3 million gospel tracks that will be distributed in India, they believe over 100,000 people will be saved. That's one person for every 30 tracks passed out. Now, let me show you. Say, preacher, what's this printing press doing? Explain it to me. Well, this printing press is not one that runs a big roll of paper. You know, you always see the bigger printing ministries wanting you buy rolls of paper for them. This is what we run. We run 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper. For every piece of paper, we can print 2 gospel tracts. Every single piece of paper, we can print 2 gospel tracts. Well, what do we need to make this happen? Well, we need the press. That's why we took the offering today. We need to get it here. We need people to be trained to run it. We need folks then that will come over and sort and cut and labor in it. But then we're going to need at some point to join with some of these other ministries and raise some money so we can chip in on helping to get a container shipped. But you know what we're going to need more than anything else? This is it. Boy, isn't this easy. We just need paper. We just need paper. Now, folks, you think about this. If you went shopping and once a week and you just swung by an office supply store and found the most inexpensive generic copy paper you can find, you're going to spend about $3 a ream for it. For 10 reams, it's about $30 right now. But I want you to think about this for a minute. For $3 for a ream of paper, 500 pieces of paper produces 1,000 gospel tracts that will one day end up in India. They said it's so hard to track how many times these things are read, but the missionaries say these tracts are read till we find them in the possession of people, and they've been handled and read so much that the words have been completely removed for the most part from the page where they're holding them. You think about the hunger that there is for the gospel in some of these third world countries, at least a willingness to sit down and read and consider. So you think about that. That means that right there. Hey, some of you kids could come up with $3. This is something teenagers could do. It's something every family could do. We get a ream of paper for $3, 500 pieces of paper, 1,000 tracts. If the statistics they're guesstimating is right, that's 33 people saved right here. I just spent $3, got 33 people saved. You think about that. Stephen, let me have you run back in the office there. Right on the counter, there's a case of paper. And if you need help carrying it, you tell me and I'll come back. Come back and help you out a little bit. I don't want to hurt him. A case of paper has 10 reams in it. Okay, so we buy them by the case around here for the office and different things. We look for them on sale. Sometimes you can get them for $29. Come on over here and just put it on the communion table there. Thank you very much. So, you know, you catch one of these things for sale for $30, $25, $24. Every once in a while you'll find a deal. And you walk in with that. That's 5,000 pieces of paper, produces 10,000 gospel tracts, 333 people saved, if their stats are right, 333 people saved. And then you scratch your head and say, well, why aren't we doing this in America? What are we doing? Now, what I'm saying here, folks, is this. Here's something exciting. Think about this. You say, preacher, he's got 1 million tracts. And what if we
were to say, well, we'll do a million too. Preacher, a million tracks? We don't even know what we're doing yet. I know that's what makes it exciting. I mean, if you know what you're doing, it's boring. I mean, you know, it just gets monotonous if you know what you're doing. But if you know what you're doing, it's great. But you say, well, what would it take to produce a million gospel tracks? It'd take 100 cases. It'd take that's it, 100 cases. $30 a case, $3,000 would produce a million gospel tracks for shipment to India. Yeah, we're going to raise a little money along with these others, but it's great because guess what? We're not responsible to come up with $25,000 to ship this. I want to help in it because I just feel like if we're going to help fill it, we ought to help ship it. But it's manageable because you know why? Not one church is trying to do it. Churches are waking up and say, you know what, $1,000 for a press? We got guys around here. I mean, they can run a four-wheeler. They can run a bulldozer. They ought to be able to run a press. Come on now. I mean, how different can it be? We can figure it out. If we can break it, we can fix it. We've proved that every weekend over here at Redbird. So, you know, we can do this. And why not? Now, you think about that. And that's just, you know what Brother Smith told me? And I don't know what we'll do on this because I don't know what I'm doing. But he told me, I said, well, man, what do you spend on paper? He said, I never buy paper. He said, I never buy paper. He said, I just tell our people, you know what? 33 souls. 333 souls. When you start turning these things into John and Romans, every single one of them a soul. He said, that's what I tell them. He said, you know what? After a while, you don't have to tell them anything. He said, we're so backlogged on paper now, we don't know what to do. We can hardly walk around our print shop. We got so much paper. But you know what? What we need is a heart to do it and just to jump on top of it. That's the possibilities of this printing ministry. Brother Smith said, I started exactly like you're doing. He said, I bought one press, old junker. We fixed it up. He said, we started small. We just took little projects on as we could. And he said, now, 10, 12 years later, he said, we've got four of these presses. And he said, we run them hard. And he said, we're producing things not only for the mission field. And by the way, this is one of the exciting things about this. This printing press is not going to allow us just to touch the uttermost. This printing press will help us in our Jerusalem, help us in our Judea. I've met a man this week. I was at a preaching at a youth thing, and he came up to me and he said, I heard that you're from Jasonville, Indiana. I said, yes. He said, is that in Greene County? I said, yes. I was impressed. The guy, oh, wow. He said, I'm coming to Greene County to take a church. And I said, what church? Does anybody know where the Hebron Baptist Church is on the eastern side of Greene County? Anybody ever heard of Hebron Baptist Church on the east side? I hope he's not mixed up, but he said it's just 20 miles outside of Bloomington. He said it's a little dinky country church, Baptist church, independent church. He said a handful of people, but he said, you know what? You can just tell the fire in his eyes, man. I said, brother, please come. I said, we need help reaching Eastern Greene County. We need help. I said, we just planted, you know, revived a church over there, planted your brother. But you know what? I don't think you're probably going to reach everybody over there. But you know what I start saying before I even think about it, you know? I said, brother, listen, before you get there, give me your address, give me your thing. He wrote everything on a piece of paper. I said, I want to be in contact with you. I said, you know what, when you get there, I'll send people over to help you. We'll knock doors for you. And I said, you ain't going to have nothing, so you tell me what tracks you need, and we'll buy tracks for you, and we'll send people over to help knock doors. And he just looked shocked, absolutely shocked. You know, shame of it is, most people that walk up and say, I'm going to start a church in the same county you are, you know what, that preacher becomes an enemy to that man. What a wicked thing. I mean that, what a wicked thing. I don't know this man. He was in a good meeting. I assume he's a good man. I mean, I will question him. I'll be honest with you. I'm not just interested in helping anybody. I believe there's a certain type of church that needs to be started if we're going to reach this county for Christ. I'm just telling you. But it seems to be a good man. A question I was able to ask him, I'll question him further. But I'm excited about it. Wouldn't it be neat to be able to say to him, hey, man, we got a printing press. What do you need? Need stationery? Don't go buy it. Don't pay somebody to let us do it. You need tracks? You need decision cards? What do you need? We'll run them off for you. People, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, just take that burden off you while you're trying to get this church off the ground. Let's take care of it. So I believe this is the kind of a ministry that's going to allow us to impact all four areas. I think this printing ministry, yes, is going to help us to put a lot of things on into third world countries, but also it's going to help us here in our ministry. It's going to help us in our Judea and other ministries that are struggling, need help. It's going to help us take on projects here in the United States of America. I just think it's a very exciting thing. And that's the emphasis that we wanted to kind of take this Sunday night and put before the church. And pray with me about this. Like I said, you know, as much as I've talked to men that are doing it, and we'll get good counsel and all this, we need wisdom. We need the wisdom of God. We want this to be something that's used in an effective manner for the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you have come to me and said, I'd like to help in some way about this. Hey, we'll use you. I promise you, we'll use you. I would like, really, this next container is supposed to go out in May. And I told Brother Smith, I'm not going to tell you anything we're going to do because I don't know what we can do. I'm not even going to say. I've not even given him a number. But I thought to myself, man alive, you know, if we could get 500 reams of paper, we could put in 500,000 tracts in that container. I mean, not 500 reams, 500 cases of paper. We could put 500,000 in there. If we got 100 cases, we could have put 1,000,000 tracts in there. And you know what? Just in the Lord's hand. This is one of the things that's exciting about being a part of an assembly. Because if it was just Jerry Ross doing it, there wouldn't be much tracts printed, not much paper bought. Because you know what? I have my limitations like you do. But the honest truth is, isn't it exciting when we could come together on something like this and say, man, look what God's going to allow us to do. You might not want to go out there yet. I'm not sure I want you out there yet because it's not quite done. And I think Brother Chad would rather have it done. But you're going to be amazed at the transformation at the old cafeteria area out there in the school. It already just absolutely, you walk in, it takes your breath away. Doing a good job for us. That's one of the first projects I gave him when we brought him on staff. I said, we need to get this area. I mean, we had drywall pieces coming down. We're on the floor. We had a mess. I had leaks in the roof. And he helped, along with a handful of men, help replace the metal sheeting on the roof that needed to be replaced, completely redid and repaired drywall and retextured everything, re-spackled everything. We had a few people show up and help us paint the other day. I actually had to get some kids out of the school that were ahead in their work to come over, but a few of you came. And we painted the ceiling and the walls and got some things ready to go in there. And you know what we're doing? We're getting ready. Because sometime in the next week or so, I'm going to get a call that says this thing's ready to go. Send them in that we can train to run this thing. And then they're going to go up there and get that. And when we do, what I'd like to do is get that thing set up. And then after a Sunday night, sometime in the future, we'll all head out there at the end of church. I want you to see some of the first tracks that'll be run off from that press here at Blessed Hope. And then we'll have a little prayer meeting out there and ask God to take this little teeny step of faith by a little country church and say, God, wouldn't it be amazing if we could get to heaven and have little India children run up and say, I got the track that you printed. God used you to get the track. That little ream of paper you didn't think a whole lot of. One maybe a giant sacrifice, but it meant eternity for me. I just think it's a great opportunity for us. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for meeting with us tonight. And Lord, we thank you for what we've heard and what we've listened to and the good response of the people. And Lord, we do need your wisdom, dear God, as we go forward in this. We simply, Lord, want to do things according to your will and your way. And God, we need wisdom on how to do it. And Lord, we want to learn as we go. And so, we're trying to do this the right way. And Lord, just guide us and lead us. Give us wisdom. Thank you for the opportunity of a new ministry here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you in the months and years ahead will allow this ministry to impact, Lord, literally to the uttermost parts of the world. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name.